With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to episode 66 of Ready Player 2. Today we have only the finest of sausage fests for you because Elle is not here. So today we have Lee. Say hello, Lee.
Hello, Lee.
Lewis. Say hello, Lewis.
Hello, Lewis.
And Mr. Rossifer Bellbag. Say hello, Mr. Rossifer Bellbag.
Hello, Ross.
You love that name. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's really caught on.
It's really taken hold, that has. And I am Rich. So, hi, everybody. We are going to talk about some games that we've spoken about this week. Luckily, we're not going to speak about E3 this week because I think we've done that to death. And we have spoken about E3 for at least 2 months since it finished, which I'm sure everybody was really happy about. So today we're going to speak about some really old games that we've played recently that are completely on point and really up there with all the latest games that are coming out in the gaming industry. So,
at least two of us have played games that have been released within the last year.
Have you? Oh, wow. We're on point. So, okay, who wants to speak about a game that they've been playing in the last couple of weeks since we did a podcast last?
I can get my shit one out of the way if you want.
Oh, go on.
Go on, then.
Can we get Ross's shit one out of the way first? I think everybody'd be happy about that.
The fucking Crew. Driving
is that the full
games.
Title?
It should be the title.
Is it called The Fucking Crew?
I definitely wouldn't have downloaded it. It leads to just believe it's something else. It's a driving game with a story.
Right. You say that with such disdain.
And cars that handle, like I think I described it as turds on a frozen spade. They just they just slide around all over the place. It is terrible. It's free on Games for Gold at the minute. Do not play it.
Oh, really?
I can't wonder
is this
why
one
I kept
that they came out
cheap
with a weird VR version afterwards, or is that a different game?
I have no idea.
No. Project Cars, isn't it?
Oh, it's Project Cars, sorry. Right, okay. So this is not that new, is it?
It's relatively new, I think.
Is this the Ubisoft one?
Yes, Ubisoft, yeah.
Okay, it is.
Yeah, it is. It's 2014 it came out. It's an all-online racer. Like an open world, drive across America, that sort of nonsense.
Okay.
But with a story.
What's the story? Do we care?
I don't know. I skipped all the cutscenes. Don't give a fuck.
Okay, so it's crap.
It's free. It's not even worth that price.
Oh, it's gone free, is it? I kept saying this really cheap.
I think it's on Games for Gold, which is why it's free. I don't think it's actually free for everybody.
Yeah, it's one of the bonuses for paying my $5.99 a month I get this month.
I feel this is another bullet I've dodged.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I feel this is a bullet that everybody's dodged thanks to Ross.
Yeah, do not play it.
Any redeeming features? I mean, you said no handling, no the story. Well, you can't really comment on, but anything?
It's a racing game that's got a story. I mean, if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know, I don't know what does.
It averages.
In its defense.
Yeah.
Go on, Lewis.
Need for Speed.
I was going to say, in its defense, I went to a promo evening for it, and they got a load of guys with exotic cars to a local shopping centre when it was released, and they basically turned a promo event for the Crew into a car show in a car park. So all these spotty youths with exotic cars came cruising down with their pimped out rides, and I'm pretty sure Exhibit was there.
Almost definitely.
Oh, well, no, it wouldn't have been Exhibit. It would have been Tim
Westwood.
Oh, my good grief. Is he still alive?
Yeah,
You know, even I know who that is.
I don't. It's like if you put a 90-year-old in baggy pants.
If when Lee, can you just edit in some klaxons whenever we say Tim Westwood?
So explosions, dropping the bomb.
Explosions.
Yeah, that's. I think that's probably about its only redeeming feature was its promotion.
Yeah, Game Informer gave it a 6 out of 10 and said, the crew feels like an average arcade racer. There are some fun times, but you might be surprised to discover that America is a pretty empty, boring place.
Or maybe we won't be surprised by that. Maybe that's par for the course. Yeah. Okay, fine. Look, we don't want to slam races too much, or indeed America too much.
There are no banana zumbas in this one, though, unfortunately.
No, you see, a lack of banana zumbas makes any racing game a boring, boring place to be.
Game of the year, 10 out of 10.
Okay, look, who else has played something this week? Lee, what have you played?
I've been playing lots more Far Cry Primal.
Okay, we've already spoken about Owl Goggles, so I don't think we really need to speak about that much more.
Yeah, but that was really good.
Yeah.
Have you molested any more animals?
In
the game?
That's part of what you have to do to progress. So.
Yes, that is never going to fly in court. I'm just saying.
I did have a little bit of a moment where one of those, you know, you bash your head against the desk moments because the...
Is that because you were wearing a VR headset? Or?
No, the Hunter vision in it. You know, when I don't know if I can't... You know, I keep trying to recall what I was doing in Far Cry 4 and I can't ever remember.
That's because it was boring.
It was not. It's a good game. Shut your face. In Far Cry Primal, you got Hunter vision. You press V and the screen goes kind of monochrome, but anything of interest, like an enemy or a resource that you can gather, glows a yellowy gold colour.
Oh, on 4, you took an injection thing, didn't you? And it gave you like hunter vision that sort of stuff. You can sniff out the animals.
You mean eagle vision from Assassin's Creed?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So you have to press V and 20 seconds later it goes. So you just, you're walking around every 20 seconds pressing V. And then I looked in the settings and there's a setting there to make it go infinite. So and I'm 25% of the way through the game as well and about 10 hours in. So lots of wasted time.
Lovely. I can't imagine anything better than a setting in a game that makes the entire thing black and white. This sounds perfect.
I'm now actually turning it off regularly because I keep thinking...
You're now having to push V to make colour come back into your life.
Exactly. It's looking a bit dull. Wow. It's making me a bit depressed. I need a bit of sunshine. And...
Is it not being in black and white reminding you of the good old days?
Everything was black and white when I was born.
Okay, fine. Look, we've spoken about Far Cry Primal before. Lewis, what have you been playing this week?
Despite me moaning about it in the E3 episode, I went home and bought Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Oh, really?
You're not a hard sell, are you? Did you walk into Tesco, see the promotional thing and go, yeah, I've got to have that?
Actually, it was on the way out of Asda. But I was like, oh, that's only £39.
Oh, my word. Seriously, that's a promotional price?
Well, considering if you go into somewhere like Game, you're paying £50-55
for a Lego game.
Yeah, it's £49.99 on the Xbox Store.
For a game in which they rehash all the voice acting from the movie.
It's console gaming, kids.
I take that back because there are scenes in the game that don't appear in the film.
Right, okay.
So I don't know if they got voice actors or if they got the actual people to come and do some voice recording, but so far, like, some of the stuff with Poe and Finn on whatever ship it is when they escape, some of that stuff is different, and some of the interactions between Poe and Rey are different as well, so there are different bits.
Sorry, is it worth 40 quid?
No.
No, I was going to say. I rag on Lego games so much, but no game is worth 40 quid, in my opinion.
Despite it just still being a Lego game, there are kind of, there is new bits to it. So you can do stuff with, like taking cover and shooting from behind cover, which I know that's not a new concept, but it is for a Lego game.
Gears of Lego. Oh, yeah. You know what? I'd play that.
That's coming. Just you.
I would play a Lego game in which you play two really angsty, very, very over enlarged in the top end Lego guys who just kind of walk around at the speed of absolutely nothing and just kind of step out of cover for no absolute reason whatsoever. That'd be brilliant.
Chainsawing Lego bits to pieces.
Chainsawing Lego bits to pieces. Actually,
unfortunately, I don't think that would ever happen because Megablox owns the license to Gears of War.
Does it really?
And Halo. Yeah.
Gears of Megablox, that's the way to go. How the hell did Megablox end up with the license for Halo?
Do you know what? They've got, without going too far off piste, they've got so many different licenses. They've got Gears of War, Halo, Doctor Who, even though Lego have got Doctor Who as well, Assassin's Creed.
Jesus.
Yeah, they've got some pretty big franchises under their belt.
Are they the ones that are selling them all to U-Bowl?
Yeah, it's the same companies that are selling. No, because, you know, well, the Assassin's Creed movie isn't U-Bowl. So there's a glimmer of hope. But hang on, we're going to get to that later. Okay, fine. So Lego Star Wars, worth it or no?
It's a Lego game. I enjoy the Lego games, but don't expect too much new stuff from it.
Nope. Okay, fine. This is kind of what we expected, but...
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what I was expecting when I went in to play the demo, so...
Trade in fodder.
Well, you're never going to trade it in for anything close to what it was worth originally, are you?
£29 at the moment. Trade in CX.
That's not bad, actually. It's held its value pretty well. Okay, fine.
Well, it's only been out for less than a week.
Yeah, get down there now.
So with these guys who have been playing reasonably up-to-date games, actually, I don't think the crew is all that up-to-date. Far Cry Primal's reasonably up to date. I've been playing Civilization 5, and I think we spoke about this in... Did we speak about this in the last podcast?
We spoke about the fact that we couldn't play it because...
How we're thoroughly inept. Idiocy. And we didn't find it in the Steam library. This was a good point. But no, we all got together and started playing Civ 5. Really good fun. Really, really good fun. I don't think there's much to talk about it because I think everybody's played Civilization games now, but... no, it was great. And I think it's worth noting that if you played Civilization 5 back when it came out, and you haven't experienced a game with all of the add-on packs and the, like, Game of the Year... Well, it's not Game of the Year edition, but the Ultimate Edition or whatever the fuck they call it. It's quite a different game with all the add-ons and all the DLCs and everything they brought out, and it's really
That's
good
me.
Fun. Have you never played it?
I got it for Christmas the year it came out and played it for about 20 hours, and then it's just sat in my Steam library ever since.
Until
I reloaded it up today, and it's it feels different.
Yeah, well, I completely got it. I got it when it first came out, and I completely enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good game, but then it got quite stale quite quickly because Civ 4 at the time had an awful lot more to it than Civ 5 did. And now, with all the add-ons and DLCs that they brought out, it's a really comprehensive game. So much so that it's a little bit over the top. I think that's what you want out of a crazy, crazy spreadsheet game. But it's just meant... I mean, we've all been sat there playing it. We've been playing it all together.
I just feel swamped.
We've been slightly pussy because we're playing against a computer rather than playing against each other, but this is how friendships are solidified rather than broken.
Or destroyed.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. This is like playing Civ 5 against other people is akin to playing Monopoly. You've got to be very, very careful with the people that you play it against because this is how friendships end.
That or poker. And actually, when we were looking for something to play and we came up with Civ 5, we actually tried to find some poker places to play.
We were dabbling with the idea of poker. I'm glad that didn't happen.
Yeah,
that could have been bad for all of us.
Could have been bloody.
I think I've probably said this before, and I know I said it that evening, but it really surprises me, and it seems like a really strange move to not make Poker Night at the Inventory a multiplayer game.
Yeah, I think we said this ages ago when Poker Night at the Inventory either first came out or when it was
I think it was
or
Poker Night 2 came out.
Oh, was it? Yeah. It's a bonkers thing, because poker is about playing with other people. But then I think possibly they made a smart move because they wanted to make a poker game that was fun and didn't turn you against your friends in a way that made you want to stab them in their sleep.
Yeah,
if you play poker games without real money on the line, though, it's one of the most frustrating things in the world. I've tried playing that against, because I play online poker. Exactly. If you play without money on the line, everyone goes all in all the fucking time, and it's so annoying.
Mm. I think you should have to play... I think all Facebook poker games, you should have to bid friends.
Yeah.
You should have to put friends in, and like if you lose, you genuinely lose those friends. Yeah, they go against other people. I mean, that wouldn't work out so well for me, because I'd be quite happy. It's like, yeah, all of them.
All in on a 2-7.
Yeah, I'll be fine. No problem at all. Okay, look, that's essentially the entirety of what I played this week, other than Rocket League, which is always kind of fun, and we're doing okay at that at the moment. Has anybody else got anything else they want to talk about? Has anybody got anything reasonably new they want to talk about?
I've got a game from 2008.
Oh, that's
is that reasonably new?
It's really disappointing. But actually, par for the course, and you're the only person that spoke up, so go ahead.
Well, I've been playing Rocket League as well on Xbox, after saying okay. I wouldn't buy it on the Xbox last podcast.
Everybody buys Rocket League. This is something that we've got to accept. Whatever you say, everybody buys Rocket League on every platform.
Yeah, I've now got it on both platforms I have available to me. So.
Rocket League is the solitaire of the modern gaming society.
Yeah, it is. It's much easier on the Xbox because there's no PC hardcore.
It's much easier on the Xbox because I've only got other Xbox Luddites to play against.
Exactly. I'm up to like level 21 already. I only got it a week ago, so it's much easier on there than it is for me on PC. Hell.
Every time we're playing on PC and I come up against somebody on PlayStation 4, I'm like, oh, thank fuck for that.
It doesn't always work out that way.
No, it doesn't always pan out like that.
But no, I've been using the backwards compatibility thing again, and we're playing Rainbow Six Vegas 2. And that is a game that does not hold up well to the test of time.
No, really? Aged like milk.
It is. Yeah, it's aged. It looks very rough. And it doesn't run very smoothly. I don't know if that's the conversion or if it always played like that.
I think you'll find that this is how it played when it first came out.
Yeah. When I first played it, I absolutely loved it and would play Terrorist Hunt every night after work.
Yeah, when you first played it, I think your expectations were a lot lower than they are now.
Well, yeah. Well, I love the Rainbow Six Vegas games, 1 and 2. I thought they were excellent. And on Xbox, I made a lot of the friends I still play with now through playing this game.
Yeah,
and just doing the terrorist hunts, but I tried to do one today with some randoms, and no, not going back.
Yeah, but see, playing Xbox Live with random people is akin to just dipping your knob in a vat full of sick. It's not going to end well for anybody, really, is it?
No.
What, how does your mind work?
I was wondering where you were going with
that. It looks bad
that.
Going in. It comes out just as bad as you expected it to be. It's just no way it's going to come out well for you.
Can that be the podcast image, or will that get changed as well?
Yeah, I'm not doing that again. Actually, I bet you I can find a
Google. Oh, I bet you could.
If you find it, don't share it.
No, I'm going to share it. If this happens, no. I'm sharing it. Okay, so you've been playing shonky backwards compatibility games.
Yeah, it's a shame. I was looking forward to it, but yeah, it's not. It's just not held up.
Oh, bless you. Well, at least you tried, you know?
Exactly.
You stuck your oar in and you gave it the best of shots.
And I haven't played basketball for 2 weeks. I'm almost clean.
You're almost clean? Is this like a drug rehabilitation thing?
Although 2017 comes out in a few weeks. You know, it's back on the hard stuff.
The latest and best disappointing drug.
Exactly. Yeah, the new hard stuff's out soon.
I love the people that play these sporting games know full well that they're going to be buying the very latest bag of crap, but they still do it anyway.
NBA 2K is fucking amazing, though.
Oh, actually, in fairness, I have heard that... not NBA. Is it NBA?
Yeah, the 2K sports games are brilliant.
Right, okay. NBA 2K15 had a lot of very positive... Is it 2K15? Yeah, had a lot of very positive reviews and it's supposed to be quite good. And it was either a Humble Bundle or it was available at some point.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I should get that because Russell play it with me. And then I looked at it and went, nah, Russell make me play it. Lewis, you've played a game that I played a little while ago.
Civ 5.
No, I played that last week. you played a game that I played a little while ago, a top-down amazing game, and I'm interested to know what you thought of it. Prison Architect.
It's good, actually. I'm getting into it. I just... There's one thing that frustrates me, and it's trying to build prison cells.
Mm. Okay.
I know that's the key point.
This is almost 100% of the game.
So I could build pretty much everything else, but the only thing that I can't build is prison cells. If I'm not using a template,
okay.
Because it says I get an error message. Like, not an error, but there's a prerequisite that you have to fulfill, which is enclosed walls and doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, yeah, I know there are walls and doors, because that's pretty much the barest minimum that you can... You require for a prison cell.
Yeah, I mean, if you can just go for a walk in the forest, then it's kind of not a very good prison, really, is it?
I was thinking, because you tweeted this earlier, and I thought, hang on a minute, I know what he's done here. He's put the doors on the wrong way around.
Well, they're sliding doors, how do you manage that?
Yeah.
Don't spoil it with your logic.
I love the idea that the like council or whoever locally is just like, your prisoners keep escaping, and he's like, no, they've just gone for a hike. I'll come back soon.
Like the most trusting prison architect ever.
Trusting prison warden ever.
To be fair, like, I don't know how to start my because I went into sandbox mode, just like creating my own prison, and it gives you some kind of targets to work to. So you have to have a canteen, you have to have a kitchen, you have to have this, you have to have that.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, hang on a sec, because if I just build a holding cell, the prisoners are going to be dropped off and then just mill around outside the prison.
Yeah.
So I had one prison guard escorting them backwards and forwards from the side of the road. Well, escorting them from the side of the road to a holding cell. I was like, as if any fucking prisoners would do that.
Yeah, they'd just wait there.
Yeah, just waiting for the guard. Yeah. But at the moment, my prison is overrun with workmen, so they build stuff really fucking quickly, and then they mill around outside the front of the prison.
Like a gang of youths.
Yeah, well, it's not like England, is it? Because otherwise you'd have like 90% of them milling outside in front of the prison, drinking cups of tea, while 10% of them are doing the rest of the work.
It's a good game. I think I just need to play it for a bit more. I've only played it for 2 or 3 hours.
The story mode through. That's what I would do. Start off, it's a bit of a weird story mode when you very first start it, and it's got a very, very odd intro thing to it.
Isn't the first thing you have to do is
slightly
build a
uncomfortable?
Chamber.
Yeah, with it the whole just, death chamber it, thing and everything. It's very weird.
But it just jumps straight into it. Yeah. There's no menu. It just goes straight from like starting the game into a cutscene.
Go and kill this guy. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really pull the lever and kill this guy, and you're just like, well, I kind of don't want to. You do it. I don't want to do that. But no, I really enjoy it. I think it's a great game. I haven't played it in a really long time, and it was in early access when I was originally playing it. Mm. Now, as early access games go, I would imagine it probably still is in early access.
I think it's actually on full release, because it's coming up or it has already been released on consoles.
Has it really? An early access game that's actually been released.
Wonders
never end. Good grief.
Pretty sure games like DayZ and...
It's never going to happen.
That's still in early access.
Never gonna be, yeah, DayZ's going to be in... I'm pretty sure that DayZ was in early access when Jesus was around. That game is never going to be released. It was ridiculous. Okay, so kind of like in Prison Architect, going to give it a bit more time?
Yeah, it's weird because having played... Like, started off with Tropico, then obviously been playing a lot of Civ. I was playing that on my own, and I think I played it for about 10 hours over the course of 2 days.
Good grief.
Well, when we started it, I'd played it for about 2.5 hours, and now I'm up to 21.
Bloody so, hell. That's only four turns as well.
Well, I got to 500 turns in my single player game.
Bloody
and
hell.
It went, congratulations, you've won.
Yeah, you were
alive. I'm not really sure why I've won, but
okay.
Everyone else has died.
Yeah, you survived till 20 turns. You're like 34-50 and everybody else has died of old age.
And now this, I'm kind of getting back into, like, I don't know, like city building games?
Building strategy games.
Yeah, like management strategy type games.
Too much time in your hands.
I really like Prison Architect. I thought it was a really, really solid game.
I think I'm going to give it more of a chance. And,
yeah,
play
I need
for
to go back
more.
To it. I'd love it if they had a multiplayer mode. I'm not really sure what kind of multiplayer mode that would take. I'd love the idea that you have like 2 or 3 prisons or however many people are playing all butting up against each other and then a great big yard in the middle and you end up having to have like prisoner death matches.
Prison fights, yeah.
Yeah, that's how you make money. Like the only way you can get funding is to train up the brutest of prisoners and fight them against the other prisons.
Have the champion prisoner.
That'd be yeah, exactly.
I got a bit put off of Prison Architect when we went to EGX last year.
But that was
because they had
the Escapists, wasn't it?
Oh, is it?
No.
Oh, I thought that was this.
Oh, when we were...
It's the one where they had a cell set up that you actually had to go into to play it.
Oh, no, yeah, that was Prison Architect. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, wow.
They had like a big cell set up and it was a bit weird and it was...
I just kept walking past it thinking, I'm not going in there.
But it was in the middle of nowhere. As well,
yeah.
It was like right in the middle of nowhere, and people were kind of walking past it going, that's a bit weird. I'm not really sure, what's going on there. It was right next to the great big weird Thunderbolt stand or whatever it was as well, and everyone was so hopped up on sugar that they were thinking, nah, I ain't going in there, I'll never come out.
Never again.
Never forget, boys, never forget.
I saw, oh God, I saw that stuff in a shop once and it made me feel a bit queasy.
Right, look, we're going to move on to Lee. Lee, you've got a secret mystery game that is both bold, highlighted red, and has a lot of exclamation marks against it. So this better be fucking amazing.
Yeah, this best not be shit. Yeah. Otherwise you're off the podcast.
Ever, yeah. Oh, we can still edit it.
We've got a slight problem there. I promised that I'd play this game last week.
Okay.
Did you?
Yes. Oh my God.
Yes,
yeah,
I played it.
I've got a game that I promised I'd play as well, and I forgot to talk about it. Okay, I'll talk about that next.
I played Far Cry Blood Dragon.
Oh.
Oh my God. If you say that you like this game, we are not friends.
No, that's it. You're off the podcast.
You two have got a lot of hate for this game, and I needed to get to the bottom of this. I needed to find out.
I'm pretty
for
sure
myself.
Ross does as well.
Yep.
You three have got a lot of hate for this game.
He does by proxy.
And, yeah, to hear about it for three podcasts.
I needed to see for myself what the fuss was, and I've got to say, you are 100% right. It's shit.
Yeah.
Muzzle time.
Muzzle time. Fucking the fuck are you back
hell.
In
hell.
Welcome back to the family, son. Or dad. Granddad?
That's a bit weird.
Okay, this is getting weird very quickly.
Yeah, just what the fuck were they thinking?
I don't know.
Literally,
for the first 5 minutes, it's quite amusing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Right. So all of the retro cutscenes made me laugh. There's some good dialogue. The graphics are quite clever. The scene where you're flying around the compound in the helicopter at the beginning. Which... you could just sit there and watch it if you want, not actually press the trigger. Nothing different happens, but it's good fun. You get to blow shit up, which is, you know, part of what you do games for. But then as soon as you're in the action, I felt like I was just banging my head against the screen. It was, it was more pleasurable than that, I suppose, but not by much. And for all of the reasons that you outlined, all the everything that I like about Far Cry isn't in this game.
Yeah. That's 100% it. It's like they've managed to take absolutely everything that you like about the Far Cry games.
Green.
Remove it and replace it with shitty 80s references, which are amusing for the first 5 minutes and then get very, very old very, very quickly.
So what got old really quickly is at the very beginning, it runs you through the usual tutorials that you get in all games where you press this to jump and press C to crouch and everything. And it does it in that way where it's a wind-up of itself. It's poking fun at itself by making your characters actually say, I hate these things, these tutorials, oh, fucking hell. So
he sounds slightly less Cornish than that, I'd like to point out.
I'm not even vaguely Cornish.
God, I hate these games.
My bloody combine officer.
So I play through most of the first level and just I was feeling a bit sick and I didn't like the mouse control. There was something wrong there, which turned out it's got acceleration on by default. Why? So I gave up and I went away. And then today I thought, well, podcasting tonight, I really need to give this game another go. I only played it for about 30 minutes. I loaded it back up. I'd saved the game, or I tried to save the game, but you can't save when you're in a mission.
Yeah.
Which is what you are in for the first half an hour of the game.
Yep.
So it didn't save. I had to go through the whole of the first...
I've only ever seen 21 minutes of this on Richard's YouTube channel, which he optimistically titled Number One. Which I assume was part of the series.
I don't even remember that.
So we've all been burnt then. So.
Yeah, I just... you see, you should believe us. You should believe us when we say stuff's pap.
Well, in my defence...
If one of us says it's pap, then maybe give it a try. Maybe watch some YouTube videos and then give it a try if you like the look of it. If two of us says it's pap, then it's pretty much gospel.
Yeah,
that's advice
like
for all
FIFA
our listeners, not just you.
In my defence, I love Civ games. I love Far Cry games and... I got it for nothing, so...
Oh, no, that's not a defence. This is the entire reason we played it. We were all led to the flame, Lee. We were all led in the same direction.
And we were all burned.
All of us equally. Okay, good. Well, look, I'm partially glad that you've been burnt by that game and partially slightly upset that you really put yourself out there and did it. nobody deserves Blood Dragon. That's not something... I'm really disappointed they managed to make a fluorescent 80s neon game that I don't like.
Yeah.
Because that's a recipe for making a game that I'm going to enjoy. I mean, you can almost not go wrong there unless you make Blood Dragon. And then shit's gone wrong. Look, I slightly forgotten about this, but there's a game that I played this week that got recommended last week when we were talking about stuff. And Lewis, in his effort to make sure that I played this fucking game, bought it
to
for
To be
me.
Fair, I was smashed at the time.
Which essentially cemented the fact that I had no choice. And you weren't just smashed. I've never seen... Smash isn't even a word. But he bought me this game, and if you buy me a game, I've got no option. I've got no choice. I'm going to have to play it. So this is South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Uh-huh.
So I downloaded this with extraordinarily low expectations, and I don't know whether it was my low expectations or the fact that I've got a solid apathy towards South Park in general. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was hilarious. And I don't know whether... I always used to find South Park funny a long, long time ago, and then I... maintain that around the time that the movie came out that it stopped being funny, and I think that's because they had the Family Guy effect. They were trying too hard to be outrageous. They were trying too hard to be over the top and crude, and that's kind of funny sometimes, but when you're in the race to the bottom, when you get there, essentially you're the lowest.
and
that's what I felt about South Park.
I thought that was their whole USB, wasn't it?
Well, that was the entire thing. But it doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like that at all. And I don't know whether it's been toned down because of the game or whether this is what South Park is now, but it's
I would wait. Before you say what you're about to say, I would wait until you get to a certain stage.
Oh, but no, it's crude. It's crude as fuck. And you know what? I've got no problem with that. It's absolutely fine. I mean, Rick and Morty I've got into recently as well, and I think that's absolutely fantastic. And that is, you know, very firmly cementing itself at the bottom of the rung as well. But this isn't what I remember South Park being. It's not the overly juvenile humour. It is more adult juvenile humour, which I can get on board with. And it's massively geeky. Like, it's kind of accepted the fact that this is a really geeky game, and it's brought all of the characters from South Park into this really geeky game scenario, and just run with it. Without taking the mick out of itself, without saying, oh, you know, we shouldn't be geeky here. They're being geeky in the game. They're playing this kind of LARP thing that they've got going on, and it's a really simplistic gameplay. It could almost be a Flash game, but it's great fun. Really, really good fun. Bit tedious at times. And a little bit slow, but the humour makes up for a huge amount of that, and the voice acting is amazing, which is kind of what you'd expect if you get all of the people from a hit show involved in the game.
Yeah,
but it doesn't smash you in the face with it either. It doesn't go, here's Cartman, here's Kenny, here's whatever the Kyle and whatever the fuck the other fella's called. It doesn't smash all of the big characters in your face straight away. It brings you into it and makes you feel part of the game. And
I'm pretty sure one of the first characters you meet is Butters.
Yeah. Yes, who, yeah, it is.
Who, whilst he is a main character, he's not part of the core four, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's still a supplementary character.
It's just, it's funny, which drives it along, but the gameplay is fine. The gameplay is great. It's a solid turn-based combat game with a great bit of comedy and then RPG elements in the background as well, which is this odd combination that you wouldn't expect to work, and especially coupled with South Park, you would never expect it to work, and it does. And I had a really, really good time playing it, which is very, very surprising. But I think it's one of those things where, like when you go into a movie or a game with very, very low expectations, and it turns out to be okay, or even pretty good, you come out feeling really good about it. And that's kind of how I came out feeling from this game. And it was brilliant. I've not got that far through it. I played it twice now. Put a good couple of hours into it. And while it could be a Flash game, like, it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest that they could actually release this as a Flash game, it's still great fun. So, it's very surprised. Not what I expected from this at all.
When somebody invents a time machine, this podcast is going to be so relevant, it's unbelievable.
Hey, it's kind of relevant. They're bringing out a new one.
All right. Yeah,
there you go. That is my claim to relevancy.
That's
in
your
this
straw clutch. Well and truly clutched.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure that I'm 2 for 2 on recommendations and whatever the opposite of recommendation is.
Oh, Far Cry.
Well,
Blood
I'm pretty
Dragon.
Sure one of them was Blood Dragon, so.
Yeah, so I told Lee not to bother with Blood Dragon. I was right.
Yeah,
I recommended South Park and the Stick of Truth, and I was right.
Well, there you go. You go and sit there in the corner and get a great big head, and we'll move on.
I will.
And I'll enjoy it. Look, has anybody else got anything else that they have played this week, or can we move right on to the news?
Let's move right on to the news.
Let's move right the fuck on. Thank you very much. We will be back in a moment.
Now watch me waste the Macho Man with Acclaim's WrestleMania for the Nintendo Entertainment System. A leg drop, an elbow smash, a body slam!
WWF WrestleMania from Acclaim.
Ooh, yeah, I want a rematch.
Right, we're back. It's still episode 66. Wait, is it episode 66?
It's 66.
I number these all kinds of
depends
crazy. Okay, look, it's still
image.
Episode. It's still, yeah. It's still episode 52. And we.
Rich is going to give you a special prize if you can spot the mistake in the image of the last podcast.
Oh, shut up.
We can make it the 37 because that never got released. Look at our back catalogue.
All images of all podcasts are wrong.
It's just the image before it.
So
yeah,
are you.
Banana.
My banana. Look, we're going to talk about some news, and we're going to do this pretty quick because there isn't all that much news that we've seen, but we're going to shoot through what we've seen already. So, who wants to talk about Evolve?
I can talk about Evolve.
You talk about Evolve.
Well, I don't know if I should, really, because I haven't played it.
Well, that's fine. We've got long and true history of talking about games we have no idea about.
Evolve goes free-to-play. Happened today. It's just popped up on Steam. You can get this four or five player co-op?
I think it's five player co-op.
Yeah, one is the monster and four is the hunter.
I wasn't sure if the monster was AI or not.
No, so, it's good fun being
a
monster.
Excellent art for that.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to, you know, Left 4 Dead had that whole mode where four of you could play as the infected and four of you could play as...
Yes, so it's nothing like that.
The
numbers are completely different.
No.
Well, one of them's the same.
Look, from a mathematical point of view, it's kind of off. But
it's got some letters that are similar in the names.
It's a computer game. People play it.
The Evolve part of it is when you're playing as the monster. If you survive a certain amount of time, you go through two or three evolutions of a monster. If you get to the final stage, you're almost unbeatable.
Oh my god, you sound like you actually know about this game.
I played it.
Oh my word. Yeah. So, look, I would say, is anybody surprised about this? But I'm actually kind of surprised about this, because this is a AAA title that isn't an MMO that has gone free-to-play.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Which is...
I'm not surprised, and had I bought this on a console...
Or, you'd be fucking annoyed.
Or PC, in fact.
Yeah, but then you'd
be really fucking
status.
Annoyed about it.
Well, to be honest, though, I think most people that bought this game when it was paid for probably did it a long time ago and possibly have had their money's worth out of it already. But if you bought it, if you paid for it, you get upgraded to the Founders Pack or whatever they call it now, don't you? So you get a bunch of unlockables that are in the game, which presumably you're going to have to pay for if you get the free-to-play version.
Probably.
Right. So it's not like you get nothing.
It was originally released on the 10th of Feb 2015, so that's almost 18 months.
Yeah. So, you know, you would have thought if you bought the game before that you would have had your time in it so far. But it's had a bit of a trials and tribulation, this game, and very similar to Titanfall, in so much as they brought it out and thought that it was going to be something that never really ended up being. I've heard some great things about it, but I've also heard that, considering it was a premium AAA title, that people were expecting a lot more from it and a lot more to come out for it that never actually really materialised.
Of course, if you want to buy it on Xbox One, it's now £5 on Amazon. Brand new.
It will be going free to play on the other platforms though, once the bugs are ironed out of the new stuff that they're putting in.
Is it cross-platform?
Don't think so.
No.
See, I think if they went cross-platform with this and made it free to play, then it could get quite a big following. But I presume that they're going to be putting in freemium content so that you're going to have to pay for certain content in the game.
I think any game, well, you might have in the future, you might get cross-compatibility between Xbox One and PS4, but you're not going to get it with PC because you're going to have mouse players on there.
Here you go. just talking about the freemiumness.
Yeah.
All content is available in-game and can be unlocked through play for free.
Ooh.
No buy-in or box required. Evolve Stage 2 is ready for everyone.
Wow.
And that's
from the Steam page.
Okay.
Jesus.
All right, well, you know what? We're going to have to get this.
I didn't know this was Take-Two, actually. That's a bit that surprised me. And and they're bigging this up, saying that this is going to be one of their permanent and long-term franchises. So they're not, like, abandoning this. It's not them saying, this game. Fuck this game.
I hate that I'm saying this, but I think this might be an evolution of the base game.
Yeah.
However, I do think that this is going to be the way that... Battleborn will go.
Yeah,
I don't disagree. Battleborn started off being hyped up quite heavily, and
then Overwatch came
dropped
out.
off. Yeah, well...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. Overwatch came out and seems to have blown things in the face.
We said the same thing about Overwatch when that came out. Yeah, we're really interested in this, but don't really want to pay any money for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is exactly why Team Fortress went free-to-play.
Mm.
I don't think Overwatch will go free-to-play anytime soon.
No, because it's a Blizzard game, and they like money.
Not only because it's Blizzard, but because it's one of the only games. I think it's the only game... Oh, God. I can't remember what the other game is, but it's the only game to get to number one in 4 years in like South Korea.
Jesus.
Wow. Oh, really? That's a very good indication of esports.
There was another game, and I think it's something like, not Eve, one of those kind of MOBAs that's been at the top of the charts in South Korea for the last 4 years.
Wow.
And Overwatch is the only game to ever knock it off. There are so many people that I see on social media talking about Overwatch. And it's generated a whole subculture of memes, like we've spoken about before, pornography.
I'm not entirely sure that pornography can be classed as a meme.
Yeah, if it's a meme, you're doing it wrong.
Depends how you do it.
What are you doing tonight, sweetheart? I'm just sitting around looking at memes.
I'm going to try it.
Different subcultures within Overwatch.
Yeah, I mean, they've already got a huge following, and they've got comics and, as you said, porn and all kinds of other stuff going on with it as well. And if they can manage to tap into the esports side of the gaming industry, which is a great indicator, if they've already got that in South Korea, then they're in. Quid's in.
I also find the Steam reviews funny of these games. I'm reading the Evolve Steam review. 163 hours on record, not recommended. What? Yeah, it's your life.
He's got to give it a chance, really, hasn't he?
Yeah. At least you've given it a fair shout, you know. If you've managed to put 163 hours into anything, you can't say not recommended. No. You know, you can at least say, I got 163 hours out of this.
It's probably the game's changed, though, or something. He's upset about something.
Oh, it's free.
Nerfed my character. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, it's free. Now I've got butt hurt.
But... the thing is it's got mixed reviews on Steam, and then it's got 77 out of 100 on Metacritic.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty good by all accounts on Metacritic. Jesus, very much to get 2 out of 100 on Metacritic, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Bloody
PC gamers. Now this is free, I'm going to have to give this a go.
No, we are.
Not exactly bleeding
edge.
We're
all going to give this a go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm clearly going to have to be the monster and fail hard. You guys killing me. But, sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good. Okay, look. I'm going to move from Evolve onto a game that I had absolutely no interest in whatsoever, from a movie franchise that I have had no interest in whatsoever for a very long time. Does anybody want to talk about Spider-Man on the PS4?
You won't have to worry about the game anyway for a while.
Well, no, I don't have to worry about anything for a long while, to be perfectly honest. So what is this? This isn't based on any films or anything, is it? This is just a Spider-Man game out of context that they were bringing out on the PS4.
Yeah, so the first... kind of announcement was at E3, which we spoke about just recently, and Insomniac Games has come out to say that there's no release date, and there's not going to be, then they're not likely to release, not likely to announce a release date anytime soon.
Vaporware.
Absolutely nothing. I'm as surprised this has even made news.
We've got a game, it's coming at some point.
Yeah.
Basically,
well, I think what they're doing here is, because it was an E3 thing, wasn't it? And we spoke about it during the E3 podcast.
Yes.
And I think I kind of went, oh, Spider-Man game. Yeah, I'm not that bothered. And
like I said, it's a Spider-Man game that no one asked for.
Yeah, and that apparently nobody's getting.
I think the problem is because it was listed on GameStop's website that says it was going to be released on Boxing Day 2017.
Wow,
that's
really?
Right, yeah.
And that's still there as well. That
apparently
listing.
That's a placeholder.
Yeah.
Good grief.
A placeholder with a date. Surely, a very specific date.
And if you look at the in-game graphics from this game, of which we've seen basically none, even the FMVs are going to be out of date by the time that comes around. So I'm not really sure what they're expecting from people.
Well,
but okay.
Why Boxing
Insomniac Day? Are not idiots. You don't release a game on Boxing Day.
Yeah. Why Boxing Day?
I don't know.
There's a specific market there, isn't there?
There's nothing about this story that makes any sense. Okay.
Hooray! Christmas is over!
It's going to be a more
game. No one's got any money to buy games.
No, I've got all my vouchers
this
to spend.
This game you've been waiting for 2 years.
True, yeah.
Okay, look, fine. We're going to move away from that. Can we move on to... oh, no! Oh my word, we've actually got Ross's Nintendo News.
Hey!
Oh no!
Oh, there's no
Ross's semi-Nintendo News.
Well, no, it's not.
Oh yeah.
Well, is it not? Well,
it's not Nintendo News.
No,
it's
Nintendo-ish. They've fucked Nintendo off, haven't they?
Yeah, it's Nintendo-ish. Look, it's Nintendo-ish.
No, it's not. They've been Nintendo. They've gone, do you know what, Nintendo? Fuck you.
Don't need you.
You're all dicks.
Do you think that was actually the meeting?
Probably.
Yeah.
I like to think that it was.
Threw a Wii U controller at them, so piss off.
Mr. Pokemon Company just walked straight into Nintendo offices and threw the... I don't know, stone painted like a Pokeball at someone.
Yeah.
I went, you know what, fuck you Nintendo.
Android, I choose you.
Yeah. So little green robot. And
this is Pokemon Go. This is the thing that everybody's been getting very animated about on social media recently, because it's not yet out in everybody's country, and people are getting great big ball sacks about it.
Taken over my Facebook today.
It's out in the UK, is that right?
No,
it's out somewhere. Where is it out?
US.
It's out in the US, Japan, New Zealand. New Zealand and Australia.
So how did you get it?
It's a staged release. If you're on Android, you can install the APK. And if you are on iOS, you can spoof your location, download the file, and then install it onto
your iPhone. I'm guessing that's against the terms and conditions.
Shh. Very much so.
Oh, I'm reporting you.
Their Pokeballs are against the terms and conditions. The thing about this, now, I might be wrong, but around about a million podcasts ago...
We talked about this, didn't we?
Did we not say, if they released a Pokemon game on mobile phones and made it augmented reality so that you could look at the world around you through your camera and see Pokemon, and then catch them and fight them against each other, it would be a really cool game.
I remember that now, as a listener.
Could somebody just describe what this game is?
You've just done
That's
it.
Because we were describing Pokemon Go.
Right. So, as with multiple things that have happened over the last 4 years, you are welcome, world.
I'm going to set the over-under when it's released in the UK to about a week before you read the first story of someone getting struck by a car while playing this.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. maybe not that great for them. BMW, I choose you. BMW uses bumper. It's super effective.
And Lewis is already doing it and he shouldn't be playing it yet.
I definitely didn't nearly get hit by two cars yesterday.
Was that against the terms and conditions?
You just see a fucking Pikachu dancing around on a fucking Skoda. Woohoo, watch out.
Apparently people are finding a lot of Pokemon in toilets and bathrooms, so make sure you check there, Lewis.
That's where you find Pokemon?
No, honestly, someone that that follows me and I follow on Twitter found an Eevee in their toilet. And I was going for a crap yesterday, and I found a Zubat in my bathroom.
Is that when you were flushing?
What about the local dogging sites?
No, I just...
You've checked, have you?
My bathroom is a local Pokemon dogging site.
There's the title.
You just throw one Pokeball and you get eight of them, and they all just kind of merge into each other.
No, it's good fun. I walked to the shop yesterday. What would normally take me 10-15 minutes took me over an hour.
Nice.
I caught a drowsy in the middle of Asda.
That's what but I do in the middle of Asda as well.
There's tablets you can take for that.
There's a photo mode. You can take a picture of it in augmented reality. So
I saw that picture. There's a guy in the background.
I'll post it on our Twitter account.
There's a guy in the background on one of the checkouts, and he's kind of like looking across it. Why is that guy pointing his phone at me and taking a picture?
What? Why is this weird beardy, baldy man taking a picture of me?
There's a fucking Jigglypuff on your shoulder. Don't move!
Do you know what? It's brilliant. Apart from last night when... Basically, everyone in the world ever killed the Niantic servers. Yesterday afternoon, I spent probably an hour and a half playing it, and I played a bit more this afternoon, just going around searching gyms and kind of hotspots. So if anyone remembers Ingress...
Yeah.
It's basically that, but with Pokemon.
See, I'm pretty sure that this... All those many episodes ago, this is exactly how we described this game. It would be Ingress with Pokemon in it.
That's almost exactly what it is. And do you know what? I'm all right with that because it's got Pokemon in it.
Has it got the RPG? I expect it doesn't have any of the RPG elements that you would expect from a Pokemon game.
Is it just catching?
So you can level up your Pokemon.
Wow.
You can drop off Pokemon at gyms. And
now, by gyms, you mean that you actually walk to like the local ladies' gym? Or something like that. Just like, I'm not coming in, I'm just dropping Pokemon off.
For instance, there is a gym at my local Asda.
Right.
And there is a gym at a church nearby. And
wow, their attendance is going to go right up.
A hotel.
Okay.
They're kind of places of interest in your local vicinity. I think one of the other churches nearby has got kind of interesting points about it where you could pick up items and whatnot.
Oh, cool.
So, but yeah, you can drop off your Pokemon at a gym and you then have to protect that gym with that Pokemon whilst other people try and take it over. So you end up battling those people.
Are they actually physically walking up to the church while you're there with your Pokemon? You have to like punch them out or something?
No.
Because that'd be amazing. So, I mean, I also love the idea that churches are promoting having fictional friends, which is just brilliant.
The irony is completely missed.
Irony upon irony.
Oh, dear. You basically, once you reach a certain level, you then leave a Pokemon there. That Pokemon stays there and levels up as it battles, and more people come to take over that gym. So then you become part of a team, either red or blue, I assume. I don't know. I haven't got that far yet.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So this has got elements of that Ingress game, and it's got elements of, what's that shit thing that you check in at and become mayor of places?
Foursquare. It's not anymore.
Is it kind of Ingress versus Foursquare? Is that the kind of thing with Pokemon in it?
Yeah, kind of. It's more Ingress than it is Foursquare.
Okay. Well, this is weird because this is one of the first times that a Nintendo kind of offshoot has been something that I'm interested in playing recently. Now, it's not that I'm not interested in Pokemon because I played Pokemon Red and Green, was it? When they came out on the Game Boy Advance.
Early one.
Was it Red and Green or Red and Blue? I can't remember which ones. And I loved them. I thought they were really good games.
Am I the only one here who's never played a Pokemon game?
No, I've never played one either.
Oh, really? Thank God for that.
Look, for Pokemon on the Game Boys, and I don't know what they've been like recently, but I played them on the Game Boy Advance and then on my GP2X, which could emulate Game Boy Advances and Game Boys and stuff like that. Think of it kind of like Zelda, but with
not
capturable... No, think of it kind of like Zelda, but with capturable pets that you could then fight against people. So it had the RPG elements of a game like Zelda, which you would expect from a Nintendo game, and then also had this whole kind of... the combat was Final Fantasy VII or Final Fantasy-ish, but with these pets that you would capture randomly and then train up and all this kind of stuff. It was pretty good.
Cool.
So yeah, no, I'm kind of into this.
Any word on when it actually comes out in Europe?
No.
Oh.
Soon.
Soon.
Sorry, no. They've said soon. It comes out in the UK and Europe soon.
Oh. Soon.
Thanks.
I'd love it if it was localised, they actually just turned off all the locations in the UK and Europe.
That's the thing. It is localised.
Yeah, this is a weird thing because you've got the American version, yet it's still got local gyms near to you. So
No. So it's localised in the respect that the types of Pokemon that you catch match the area that's nearby.
Okay.
What? So, for instance, if I go to a beach area, I'm more likely to catch water-based Pokemon.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Because I've got churches and stuff nearby, a lot of the Pokemon that I'm catching are psychic-based. Honestly,
Pokemon you're catching are fictional.
Zombie Pokemon.
Ross knows him. James Bricknell.
Yeah.
Or Caradol on Twitter. He lives in a desert and he only catches stuff like, normal types or rock types. So he ground types, rather. So he's caught like Geodudes, Zubats, Rattatas, that kind of type.
So this is going to lead to people going on Pokemon pilgrimages?
Yeah.
To find these different types of Pokemon?
That's kind of the whole point, to travel around.
There's going to be a Pokemon holiday tour, isn't there?
There is.
I think
Pokemon open-top bus tours.
Chris Coleman is someone else. So he gets a lot of like urban type Pokemon.
Mm.
So Pidgeys and that kind of stuff.
When he comes back to the homeland, he can get the water Pokemon.
What's an urban Pokemon? Are they more down with the kids?
They wear backwards baseball you know, caps.
Wearing their caps backwards and stuff like that?
Possibly, I don't know. But, yeah, the type of Pokemon is determined.
That's pretty
by
cool.
The area
that is pretty
that
cool. That is.
I think that's pretty cool. I think it's also a bit cool and weird that you've got the American APK, yet it's still
smart.
I know the areas.
I've got the what is it? I think it's the Australian one.
Okay. Well, either way, I mean, that it's still aware of the areas that you're in. You know.
Yeah, because it's based on a GPS location.
It's just losing your location service.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Not based on the type of APK that you've got.
So can you fight... Now, I don't want to spend too much longer on this. We're going to move away from this in just a moment. But can you fight against people that you know that don't live anywhere near you, even though it's a location-based game?
Not yet.
Right, that's the only thing that I would say, because it'd be cool for me to walk around, do this, and get my Pokemon and all the rest of it. But I kind of like to be able to pit my Pokemon against you guys. I wouldn't necessarily want to do it against people that are local to me.
No, so it's almost entirely location-based. Again, going back to the Ingress, you're trying to take areas.
Right, okay. So they need to cater to the people like me who have got friends that they don't necessarily want to be anywhere near.
Yeah.
if they do that, then I'm all in.
Yeah, I to be honest, we're not even on a V1.
Yeah, no. So it could go quite a long way. Well, it's picked up a lot of steam. This has got an awful lot of chatter. Considering it's not actually officially out in the UK yet, it's got a huge amount of chatter on social media so far. And I think that's the end of the news. Is that all of the news we want to talk about this week?
Yeah.
That is all of the news.
Right, we've got some shiz to talk about. Now, we've been threatening to talk about this shiz for a while now, but we're really on board with the shiz now. I think the shiz is all really locked and loaded. So we're going to take a very brief break, and we're going to come back. And we're going to talk about... Video game movies! So, you know, if you don't want to get angry, this is probably the time to just check out. This is probably when you just give it a miss from now on. Come back in Ready Player 2 episode 42, where we'll be back with all new content. We'll be back in one moment.
Like most other home computers, the Commodore 64 is small and very agile. Unlike most other home computers, it has an enormous 64K memory. This means you can use more exciting and advanced software programs and get so much more enjoyment out of your...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate lightweight, super packable travel shoes from Allbirds. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Home computer. The Commodore 64. Remember, it costs less than £230. And don't forget, it has the enormous memory.
Right, look, I think we can all agree that in the land of the blind, the one-eyed video game movie is still shit. But, in the sake of science, we have gone off and we have watched some video game movies.
Science.
And we're going to talk about them, goddammit. So we have gone away.
Can I just interject?
Okay, you do that.
You and Lee.
Look, right, we've taken the hit.
Me and Ross are fucking idiots. We've watched we've watched most of this shit before.
Yeah,
we know
right,
that it's, unfortunately. It's either terrible or brilliant.
I've been calling it research, Twitter. But it feels more like self-abuse.
It does a little bit. We hit Twitter like a paedophile hits a playground, and we went, we basically said to people, look, what do you think...
Maybe do that
again. Oh, Jesus.
What do you think about
video
game
movies? God, I was
taking
a drink.
And as that person in the playground, the response was almost overwhelming. So We basically said, what do you think? What do you think about video game movies? And there was an awful lot of response. A lot of people on Twitter had a lot to say about a lot of video game movies. Some of it was nice. Most of it wasn't.
I didn't see that bit.
So we decided we were going to go away. We're going to come up with the video game movies that we've seen. And we were going to watch some of the new ones that have come out, because this is a little bit of a heyday for video game movies at the moment. There's quite a few of them coming out. We've got Angry Birds out at the moment. We've got the Warcraft movie. And there's
Assassin's Creed coming out
very soon.
Another Resident Evil film.
This is us being topical. No, there is no topicalness about Resident Evil. So me and Lee took the hit.
Oh boy,
we soiled ourselves so that you don't have to. So, in the name of science, the Ready Player Two crew would like to talk about a few video game movies that we have seen, and whether or not we think that this is something that should happen, or indeed. We want to see.
I just had a cold shiver thinking about some of these films.
Look, we're going to have to go all the way back. For this, we have to inception this shit all the way back to... all the way back to what is classed as the first ever video game movie. And I'm not entirely sure that it was, but look, we've got to address the elephant with great big jump boots in the room. Which was the Super Mario Brothers movie. We've all seen
greatest,
this, right?
Yes. The greatest video game movie bar none.
So this...
And if anyone argues with me, I will come to your house and burn it down. With a bomb.
I don't want to put anybody off.
Or
but Lewis probably
flower.
Doesn't know where you live. So I think it's free to talk free. It's fine to talk
freely. I know
freely.
Where you live.
He can find
no,
you.
I know where Ross lives.
Ross talked favourably about
I'm not disagreeing
film.
Anymore.
For the sake
I think
of your
I
child.
Know where Lee lives.
Yeah, it's kind
so
of
his postcode.
We're going all the way back to Super Mario Brothers movie with Bob Hoskins and John
Leguizamo.
Leguizamo.
That's him.
And Dennis Hopper.
How the hell did he... What are they even thinking about? Now, I think it's fair to say that I'm not entirely sure that John Linguini had much of a movie career before this film happened. But Bob Hoskins and almost everybody else that was in this film had a bright future. You know? This was awful. And it was. I'm sorry, Lewis. It was awful. But it's one of those movies
right.
that was so awful that in retrospect it was fantastic.
I just want to point out that Bob Hoskins won't even allow this on his kind of resume. He won't even admit that he was in the Super Mario
Despite
Brothers.
Despite all the photographic
Well, really?
Evidence.
But he's fine with the British Gas adverts.
But God rest his soul, he was fucking brilliant in it.
Yeah, do you know what? In terms of what it tried to be, which was in essence a science fiction film about interdimensional travel.
Yeah.
Mm. Which is bonkers for a Mario Brothers movie, just to start with. But they tried to give it this science fiction slant, which actually kind of worked out in its favour, because there was almost nothing else in its favour at the time.
But it also had that dystopian future feel about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was
so
exactly what it was.
So when they go to the Mushroom Kingdom, it had a very... cyberpunk kind of...
Do androids dream of electric bob-ombs?
Yeah, exactly. And it just had that... It had a brilliant feel to it that if Mario was made today, that's how I would want it.
Yeah, you could
if
appreciate
Mario
it.
If Mario was set in the Fallout universe,
yes.
That's how I would want
yes,
it to be.
Exactly. That's exactly it. The weird thing about it was it wasn't what anybody wanted in a Mario movie. And actually, I think it was not what anybody expected in a Mario movie. They did something a bit bizarre where they did this dystopian thing and they did this science fiction thing. And because nobody expected it and it was really offbeat for what people thought a Nintendo film was going to be about, that it was massively underappreciated. Now, I remember watching this film and thinking, what the fuck is going on here? This is really weird. But I think had they done the Goombas... And had they done the enemies in a slightly different way, then I probably could have appreciated it a little bit more. Had they been fungi that had grown on this alternate planet and had become beholden to this creature that was telling them what to do, then
they
I would be, wow,
devolved.
This was amazing. But actually, they were just really shonkily made up guys that just looked really weird.
But I'm sorry, the best scene in that film has to be in the elevator with the Goombas.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Where they all start dancing because
why not?
Because Mario makes them dance. He just starts
swaying like, them.
You would imagine that you would notice someone start to sway you. Like they just start swaying along with the music and he's humming to it. And just the smiles on their faces. Like
it was
in any other film, they would be just brilliant. I will fully admit they don't work in Mario.
No, they were wrong.
Aren't. They aren't Goombas.
It was so wrong. Look, if you are like the majority of, well, I'd say the majority, if you are like some of our listeners who are nowhere near old enough to understand the joys of this movie, we watched this film when it first came out.
Yeah, I watched on video.
It's mental. And Lewis is clearly watching that part of the film.
YouTube one.
No, I'm not. I'm just thinking about it.
You need to go. And I think this is the point at which this movie is retro. So that makes it cool. So go back and watch the Super Mario Brothers movie. It is exactly as bad as you would expect it would be. But in its terribleness, with the retro layered on top of it, it's fantastic. And I think if you could appreciate it at the time for what it was, you would definitely appreciate it now, because it's just mental and weird and not what you would expect a Super Mario Brothers movie to be at all.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lee, what were you going to say?
I love this film.
There's two things. This film, it confirmed that their last name is Mario. So he's Mario Mario.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And also, just in the trivia, Bob Hoskins broke his finger when a van door slammed on it. For the rest of the film, he is wearing a cast which was painted pink to look like a hand.
I'm going to have to watch it back.
This could have been a very different film. Arnold Schwarzenegger turned down the role of King Cooper.
Yeah. Kevin Costner.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
Also, Michael Keaton. Dustin Hoffman was in there for Mario.
Could have been fantastic.
And the best thing is,
need to chill out.
Tom Hanks wanted the role of Mario, but Nintendo worried that the star of Turner and Hooch and Joe vs. the Volcano couldn't headline the blockbuster.
No way! Yeah.
No!
So they went with Bob Hoskins.
Oh my god, this would have 100% been a completely different film had it been with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, might not have broken definitely. His finger for a start. I don't know.
Look, we need to move on from Super Mario Brothers. This was, in essence, what most people class as the daddy of video game movies, which is amazing, because if this is the daddy of video game movies, then every other video game movie that came after it is very inbred. But
unfortunately,
actually, that's
it only goes downhill from there.
Yeah,
one other thing on Tom Hanks. Sorry, this came out in 1993, the same year as Philadelphia.
Yeah,
which he won an Oscar for.
Yeah,
and he wanted to be Mario.
Good job, Nintendo. But actually, it's not the kind of film that you would liken him to, you know?
Can you imagine if he won an Oscar for this?
See,
what a world we would live in.
Can we move slightly into... Oh, Oscar for...
Do you know what? I think, just before we do move on, I think Tom Hanks would have played a better Luigi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Taller.
Tall and skinny.
Wilson!
Anyway, let's move on.
Sorry.
And Danny DeVito... as Mario.
Yeah. No, see, I would have loved Danny DeVito as Mario and Arnold Schwarzenegger as Luigi. I would have been fine with that. Twins, but Super Mario Brothers style. That would have been fantastic.
Right, come on, let's
move
on.
We're going to slightly chronologically move into the other kind of video game movies that came out. Not roughly the same time, but we're going to ease ourselves into it. So Street Fighter. No, I don't know if this is the movie that came out close-ish to this, but this is certainly one of the oldest ones that I remember.
I'm getting
now,
hot sweats.
If we could just kind of very briefly touch on the people that are in this film. So Jean-Claude Van Damme. Playing a guy that had potentially the worst forward mullet I've ever seen in my life.
Playing the American hero Guile, by the way.
Yeah. Exactly. The American hero, the muscles from Brussels, Guile. and Kylie Minogue.
As Cammy.
As Cammy, which is just the most bonkers thing I've ever heard of.
This is probably
going
to be the most misogynistic thing that you will ever hear me say on this on this podcast, but 10 out of 10 would bang Kylie Minogue as Cammy.
10 out of 10 would bang Guile.
This had Raul Julia in it. in his last ever acting performance.
He won awards for this as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
What? Yep. How? He was excellent.
Yeah, he was.
How did anybody win awards for this
Despite
film?
Despite he was actually dying on the set. Literally dying on the set.
This is the film that basically, I know that other films like Breakfast Club and other films have encapsulated the whole kind of freeze frame end moment where somebody jumps in the air fist pumping. But this film had it down to the most cringeworthy T, where every single character that was still left alive at the end of this movie did a really, really over-the-top jump in the air and thrust every limb that you can possibly find out in a different direction and hope that you don't kill the other cast members.
This came out 18 months after Mario.
And this was... Could you possibly think of a movie that could have done Blanka worse than this?
Dr. Blanka?
I do you know what? I love this film.
What?
So do I. I can watch this anytime.
Mario. Oh, yeah. Like Mario, it's so bad that it's amazing. No. Yeah.
At the time, I hated this film.
I still hate it. I watched it at the time and forgot about it so much that I watched it and was just amazed how bad. Right. Okay,
can you love Mario but hate this?
Because this was intended to be good.
Yes.
I can't help but think that the people that made Mario knew full well from the get-go that it was going to be shocking and would just roll
this
with it.
Almost.
But it's got Van Damme in it.
Right. The budget for this film was something like $35 million, which is not a huge budget. But do you know what they spent $8 million of that on?
Van Damme's hair.
Van Damme.
Hey, it made $100 million in the box office.
I don't know how that's...
Yeah, that's because people didn't know any better.
Yeah, that is exactly right.
Also, it's got 58 out of 100 on... Oh, no, it doesn't. It doesn't have a rating on Metacritic. I was looking at the wrong thing.
I like to look at Rotten Tomatoes. If it's got less than 2, then I don't watch it.
So it's got 12%.
Mario on Rotten Tomatoes, good grief.
Mario had 15%.
I could go
we
with
did
Mario.
Actually, we did skip out Double Dragon.
I've never seen the Double Dragon movie, and actually until recently I didn't know that they'd even made a Double Dragon movie.
Neither did I until I looked at a list of Wikipedia.
Awful.
See, look, if you're younger than us, which let's face it, is probably most of our listenership, you possibly don't even know what Double Dragon is. If you don't know what Street Fighter is, then just fuck off now.
Yeah, there used to be a Double Dragon machine in my local Circle K.
Oh, gee, I used to play Double Dragon all the time. That was my fighting game.
Double Dragon's a brilliant game.
I was probably 7 when Double Dragon. Yeah, I was about 7.5 when
Double Dragon and Golden Axe.
And that was still 5 years after Double Dragon was relevant.
Yeah.
Good job. So I probably would have only been 2 when Double Dragon the game was released.
Yeah. Good job. Yeah. Well, keeping the relevancy, Hollywood.
I'll probably have a beard.
We're gonna move from one awful video game fighting movie to another fantastically awful video game. Yeah, Mortal Kombat. We've got to talk about Mortal Kombat. So, right.
The soundtrack. I'm sorry, before we move any further, the soundtrack was just incredible.
Can we just have a moment of silence for Lee to put in that Mortal Kombat scream, please?
You do this. And there we go.
That'll do.
What I would quite like is...
not that one, the Mortal Kombat one.
Can somebody write... Who played Raiden in the Mortal Kombat movie? No.
Christopher Lambert.
So, Christopher Lambert, yeah.
Right. How the hell did that happen? How the hell do you go from playing iconic roles to playing Raiden? Somebody must have sold him right down the creek on that, surely.
Well, he was arguably the star of this film, I suppose.
Wow. It
was meant to be really? Sean Connery, wasn't it? But he declined it.
Give me a shot. Just,
yeah, good job. Yeah, let's both of us go from Highlander to this.
Very, very similar quality, in my opinion.
Highlander got away with it. This film was bad. Look, in my opinion, this film was bad. But it was also brilliant at the same time because it was kind of cheesily bad.
Yeah.
And this was this was a film of the era because films of this era were cheesily bad anyway. And if you look at Arnie's movies from this era, so you look at Running Man, you look at Total Recall, all that kind of stuff, there is a level of cheese to them, which is brilliant anyway.
Mm. Mm.
And actually, I think they were slightly earlier than
this. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger was meant to play Cooper in this as well, wasn't he?
Cooper. This was a bad film. There's nobody. If Street Fighter was a bad film...
This was worse.
This is a terrible film, but it made more money than the rest, and it's got a brilliant soundtrack to it.
Do you know what made me really mad about this film? It ended on a cliffhanger. How the hell do you make this film and think this is a good idea? Let's end it on a cliffhanger.
I'll tell you what really made me mad about this film.
So did Godzilla.
This film is based on a video game. Okay? Mortal Kombat. Yeah. What's the big thing about Mortal Kombat?
Yeah. Fatalities.
Fatalities and gore. Neither of which feature at all in this film.
Gore was in the film?
No, it wasn't.
Yes, no, it was. The forearm, motherfucker.
No, that's Goro, you knobhead.
Oh, sorry. I take it back. I thought you meant Gore, the character.
No.
I take it back.
Yeah, you can't do Mortal Kombat without it being a hard R or a 18
film. The original script
for this
was an R.
Somebody's spine needs to get ripped out. At some point, somebody's spine needs to get removed.
Yeah.
But, okay, so let's move on from the Mortal Kombat film. So there was the sequel, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, which was utter piss.
Yep.
There's no need to talk about that.
No.
And then there was the YouTube series, Mortal Kombat Legacy, featuring Jerry Ryan, which was actually very, very good.
As no in way. 7 yeah. of 9, Jerry Ryan.
Yes, yeah. 7 wow. of 9, Jerry Ryan, who plays Sonya Blade.
Great casting.
Does she really? I'm suddenly interested in watching this. Does she bounce a lot?
There are three seasons of it, and it's one of the earlier YouTube productions.
Oh, right, okay.
So it was commissioned by YouTube via Machinima.
Okay. This must be quite early on in Machinima trying to, becoming a big thing.
It was 2011.
Okay.
And the whole thing is available on the Machinima channel. Just have a look for Mortal Kombat Legacy. It's got Jerry Ryan. It's got the every other character you could hope for. And they worked with NetherRealm, Warner Brothers.
How did they get people that could actually act in this, but not in the actual film?
Look, it's Jerry Ryan. Let's not go over the top.
Literally, the only person that I recognise is Jerry Ryan. And I'm pretty sure she's only in the first season.
Yeah, who is world-renowned for playing a character that has no personality.
I was looking through the cast list for Mortal Kombat, and Bridget Wilson-Sampras' name just jumped out at me. The guy, the lady that plays Sonya Blade. And she's her last name, Sampras, is because she married Pete Sampras of 90s tennis fame.
Wow.
Nobody cares about tennis, Lee. Nobody cares.
Not even during Wimbledon, no one cares.
Nobody cares about tennis.
Come on, Andy!
Come
on, Tim.
Oh. The guy who plays Shang Tsung, he was in fucking shitloads in the early 90s. So
I bet he thought it was a fantastic idea to break into Western movies by doing something like this.
But he was in Star Trek, Thunder in Paradise, Nash Bridges.
Thunder in Paradise.
Wow. Hogan's Fire
Watch.
Actually, he was in Heroes as well. Oh,
there is nowhere near enough Hulk Hogan in anything that happens nowadays. There needs to be more Hulk Hogan.
There's a reason for that, though.
Because he's a horrible racist.
He's a massive racist.
Actually, we can't say that anymore because
he was
acquitted.
Oh, is he?
He basically
closed
down. He's allegedly a horrible racist.
He basically bumfucked Gorka in out of existence.
Into bankruptcy.
Good grief. He'll go Hulkamania on your ass. Look, we need to move from this. We need to move We need to move from one horrible fighting movie to another potentially not that bad fighting movie. Look, this is much more recent, and I'm keeping with the vein of fighting movies now. Tekken.
Yeah.
Not seen this one.
This is a...
No.
Right. I've seen Tekken. Now, I think I recommended Tekken, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Also...
Yeah.
It's your fault.
Also, the guy who played Shang Tsung...
Yeah.
In Mortal Kombat was Heihachi Mishima in Tekken.
In Tekken, nice. Yes, he was. Now I
he's
recommended
also 65.
Tekken. I recommended Fucking Tekken, hell. I think, to Lee.
Yeah.
Now this was a soft recommendation, to say the best. But
thumbing it in.
Look, I've now seen this film probably three times. Now the one thing that I will say about this film is that ass. because
on Jin.
There is a pair, what, there is a pair of trousers in this movie that you will never forget. But it's all right. It's not terrible for what it is. It's a pretty shonky, very cheesy, poorly put together fighting film.
But it's honest and true to the story.
Yeah, for what it is, it's true to the story. It's got great fighting in it. It's got people being beaten to a pulp. It's got, for what it is, good kung fu mixed with mixed martial arts. And it's a good film. And it's got the great sci-fi elements that you'd expect from something like this. It's over the top. It's cliched. And it's poorly acted. It's but actually...
not as bad.
It's a pretty decent film.
Not as badly acted as the other two. And the fighting in it... I know it's a more modern film, but... the fighting in Street Fighter was just dreadful. The fighting in Mortal Kombat, the original cut of it was so bad that they went back and shot two extra scenes, fight scenes, to add to the film, which were directed by a different stunt guy or whatever, the guy that choreographs all the fighting bits. And it's noticeable that they're very different to the other fight scenes.
Is Yoshimitsu in it?
Yes, he is. Which is a bit bizarre.
Does he?
I'm in.
Does he sit on his sword?
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, no, he doesn't.
Oh, well,
no,
it's a different film. Sit on, no, not in a sexual way.
No, not in a sexy way, you knobheads. Does he jump up and sit in a cross-legged position and then hop on his sword a little bit?
He does sit in a cross-legged position, but not on his sword.
They pretty much tick all the boxes for all of the fighting moves for all of the characters, really.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Which I really like. I'm going to have to watch Tekken.
I really like that. The fight scenes in this are really good. But yeah, that was one bit where the emotion got a bit broken for me. And I found that when I was originally... Tekken was my favourite fighting game out of all of these three. I did like Street Fighter 2. I hated Mortal Kombat because it was just a bit shonky. But Tekken, it was the one for me. And it always bothered me that, you know, you're fist fighting everybody and then this fucking alien comes along with swords. It didn't seem fair. And then they put it into the film as well.
He's not an alien, he's a robot.
Well, yeah, alien robot thing.
Can we talk about Uwe Boll, please? And what he's done to video game movies?
Do we have to?
Do our listeners need that?
I was going
to
smooth our way into the whole Uwe Boll situation because I didn't want to end up in some kind of boxing death match. But I think we pretty much... we've led in that direction so far.
Let's just kick his fucking doors in.
He's directed the worst film ever in Alone in the Dark.
Yeah.
Okay, look, right. We're gonna go away from Tekken. Now Tekken, I thought was a reasonable film. It was cheesy, it was bollocks, and it was wrong for all the right reasons. But it was a good film, and I thought it was okay. And I think Lee kind of agrees
with
me.
Yeah, it's well shot. We're gonna move. It's not that badly acted. Fighting is excellent. It's good, well worth a watch, but not if you really want something that's Pride and Prejudice level of acting.
Good grief. If you like Pride and Prejudice, you're in the wrong podcast. Look, we're going to move from that, and we're going to move from... all right, let's move towards the Uwe Boll shit. Alone in the Dark.
Right, before we move on, I'd just like to point out that Alone in the Dark currently has 1% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That many?
That meets your less than 2% criteria.
Yes, it does.
And 9 out of 100... on Rotten Tomatoes.
I watched this movie because I love Alone in the Dark, and I actually played the newer Alone in the Dark game because I love Alone in the Dark.
And that was
twice
shit
burnt.
As well, wasn't it?
It was awful.
That's in our hall of shame.
So this had fucking what's he called? Not Kevin Bacon, the other
Christian Slater and Stephen Dorff.
Christian Slater. I always get Kevin Bacon and Christian Slater mixed up. I don't know why. So this was in the heyday of Christian Slater's attempt to get back into relevancy. Mm. Good grief, he couldn't have picked a worse movie to
be. The greatest thing about this film, and it sums it up in one sentence, Tara Reid is a scientist.
Is that it?
Yes. Just imagine Tara Reid as a scientist.
The best thing about this movie is that after an hour and 42 minutes, it ends.
It finishes.
Yeah, that is the best I can say. It has literally nothing to do with Alone in the Dark whatsoever. The closed, claustrophobic fright and the cryptic mansion scenario that you have that was the great heyday of the games is in absolute absence. This movie, it's nowhere near. Nothing even close to the actual storyline of the games. It was poorly acted, poorly scripted, poorly directed, poorly set. The costume design was absolutely atrocious. I can't think of anything else that I can say that's worse about this film. It was absolutely shit.
They made a second one.
They didn't.
Yeah.
Was it?
They never made
was
a
second
film. Fuck off.
Yeah. 2008, they made
a second film. Did that actually happen?
Yeah, 2008. It's 87 minutes long, so.
This is the franchise that managed to make a game that was so bad that it even realised this and managed to make you skip entire sections of the game so that you can move right to the end.
Play this if you don't want to, just skip.
Oh, so bad. Look, I don't know about Lee. I loved the original Alone in the Dark games. I don't know if anybody played them on
PlayStation 1. I think I played them on.
Well, I played them on the 3DO.
Wow.
This is when I fucking played them.
Hell.
Absolutely incredible. The original Alone in the Dark game was amazing, but it's just gone. None of that is in the film. It's not even close.
No. It is one of the worst films ever made.
This reflects exactly in Resident Evil.
Oh, God.
Because that's exactly the same motherfucking thing.
See, now, Mona Lewis's friend Dave is a massive fan of the Resident Evil films.
I love...
Why?
Is he brain dead? I love them as well.
Well, he loves Mila Jovovich.
Yeah. Oh, for Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Her heyday was Fifth Element. No, the Resident Evil movies are tosh. Stop it. Come on, Jesus. Fap on your own time. These movies were bad.
Resident Evil are decent zombie action films. They're nothing to...
I just need to open a window.
They've made almost $1 billion combined.
You were so excited about Mila Jovovich that you shit yourself.
No, I'm getting hot.
Look, we're going to move from horror game to shit horror movie game movie.
To another terrible
shit horror movie game movie. To all right horror game movie. Silent Hill. Now, I loved this film. The first one, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Am I alone?
Yeah.
Am I alone in the dark?
You might not be alone, but I'm not with you.
I actually really enjoyed Silent Hill.
Yeah, I thought it was a great film.
Yeah, it wasn't a great Silent Hill film, but
yeah,
it was
I
a great film.
Yeah, yeah.
I did ask on Twitter earlier about people who like video game films, and one of our followers, Craig Eastman, said, picking a favourite video game adaptation.
I saw this week.
It's a bit like deciding which of your daily shits looks the most appetising. So, Craig is a film podcaster on the FUDs on Film podcast, which I'll pop a link to. And I said to him, well, as a film buff, you must have at least one film, which his response was, as a Silent Hill devotee, I think that the movie nearly got it, but bogged itself down too much in daft plot and complexity.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
And he then follows up with, there was so much potential, atmosphere, almost nailed, but it forgot that it needed to be a movie and not a game.
Yeah.
So, the thing that I've got with the Silent Hill movie, Silent Hill movie, in essence, I thought was excellent. And it had the right amount of gore, which is great, but it had the right amount of build-up to the gore. Mm-hmm. So, it wasn't just gore, gore, gore. There was a bit where a woman gets her entire skin ripped off, which, you know, that ticks boxes. But it's not that. It's the build-up to that happening and the fact that it's so unexpected when it does happen that it's great. And
not only that, but I think the character, Pyramid Head, in the film, he plays such a massive part in building up to that gore.
Yes,
I know that sounds
yeah.
ridiculous because he's obviously the main antagonist, but he builds up to that in such a way that it builds that kind of tension.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving towards the gore.
But it was a tension game. I mean, this was the whole thing with Silent Hill. The whole thing was the apprehension about what was going to happen, not what was happening. That was what made Silent Hill scary. Silent Hill wasn't scary because of jump scares. It was scary because you were always, in the back of your mind, you were always worried about what was about to happen. Yeah. And the film managed to grab that fairly well. I mean, it lost it a little bit at the end, but it did that pretty well most of the way through it. It was backed up with some reasonably decent acting. And the main girl that was Alessa Gillespie that was in it was brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. And it was wrong. And that was the great thing about the film. It was fucking wrong. And it fit perfectly in with the games. It was wrong in exactly the right way, in the way that the games were as well. I'd like to just point out that the second film was fucking awful. It was absolutely dire.
That revelation.
I loved the first film so much that I was really quite excited about the second film. And I loved the first film in the way that you can kind of love any movie of a game, in so much as you expect it to be so dire, and when it comes out being okay, you're kind of like, oh, well, you know, I'm quite happy with this. Well, yeah. The second film, I had fairly high expectations, which was my own fault. You know, I got misled into this. But the
you
second...
loved the first film like your least favourite child.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and on any day of the week, that could be a different one. But, but I loved that. I could watch the first film over and over again. I thought it was really, really good for what it was. The second film, the problem that I had with the second... Well, I had so many problems with the second film. But the second film essentially had a great big build-up to what could have been a very creepy and weird ending, and essentially finished with a hug. That's exactly what happened. The main character went, "You're really upset and angsty, and you've got very emo tendencies. I need to hug you, and this will all go away."
Horror.
And the worst part of that was, it did. And I was like, what the fuck? What's going on here? This isn't a Silent Hill film. This is fucking weird. There you go.
The thing about the first Silent Hill film is it wasn't just a remake of the first Silent Hill game.
It no, was exactly.
An expansion of the Silent Hill universe.
Yes. Yeah, it was a reimagining of the way that it could have been.
Yeah, with characters from that universe, yeah. So Pyramid Head, etc.
Yeah, and it was sick in all the ways that it should have been sick. You had a little girl who had been tormented for years. You had a town that had been in limbo and unable to do anything for years and years and years. You had souls that were tortured. You had... It was great. It was fantastic. It had all the right elements. Didn't 100% come together, but it was bloody close enough for me for a video game movie, for me to class it as one of the best video game movies that I've seen.
Yeah, it's a terribly low bar, isn't it, for films to get over, but...
It is. I swear to God, I could not limbo below this bar. It's very, very, very low. Do you know what? Actually, can I jump from this to a bar that is slightly higher? And I don't think that anybody's necessarily going to agree with me, but I'm going to jump forwards a little bit.
Don't
from
say Tomb Raider.
Prince of Persia.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. No. So many people hated this film. So many people slammed this film.
I am so many people.
Right. Prince of Persia, for me, was an absolutely excellent video game movie, to the point where I could actually have forgotten that it was even a video game movie at all. It was just a movie. And it had the comedy, it had the slapstickness, it had the cheesiness, it had the...
None almost of which in is place- featured in Prince of Persia.
Well, no, but it had the almost forced poor acting that you could tell was... Do you know what I mean? It wasn't poor acting, it was kind of almost on purpose. But it had good special effects, it had a good story, and it had a great aside story that mixed into the main storyline in the end of it. I thought it was brilliant. I really enjoyed this movie. I am very much alone, and I can't believe that Ross is agreeing with me, but I thought that I was very much alone in this, because I thought this was a great movie. And
Lee, didn't you enjoy this?
I like this film.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well.
Well, see, Lewis, you're all on your own.
Yeah, again, because I like Super Mario Brothers.
No, I like Super Mario Brothers. Don't take that away from me.
Again, because I'm alone, and I like Super Mario Brothers.
This had the strongest cast of any video game movie.
Yeah, no, this was absolutely brilliant. Alfred Molina, yeah. I think he's called.
Did you just say that wrong?
What?
Because I'm going to have to... You carry on talking about Prince of Persia, and I'll bring up strong casts in a second.
Oh,
okay, you do that. But he was fantastic in this.
That.
You do it. He was fantastic in this. But actually, Jake Gyllenhaal, who was the Prince of Persia in this film, he was brilliant in it as well. And
What's his name?
Tongue-in-cheek, and it was slapstick, but it was still great.
What's his name in the film?
Dastan. I'm definitely not an
I wasn't asking you.
Oh, what, Alfred... whatever
no,
he's called.
Jake Gyllenhaal's.
Oh, I don't fucking know. Prince of Persia?
Exactly. Not that memorable, was he?
Oh, come on. I know that it was Jake Gyllenhaal, and I know it was called Prince of Persia. What the fuck do you want?
Oh. But I
Bob, the guy what has the knife.
But I know that Carl Urban in Doom...
Let's talk Doom, because we all fucking love Doom, surely.
that Carl Urban in Doom was called Reaper.
Yeah, he was. And what was his first name?
John.
John. You don't answer.
Please, miss.
And
I know The Rock was just called Dwayne. Sarge.
Put your hand down.
Dwayne, yeah. The Dwayne Rock Johnson was called Sarge. Yeah.
Not even given a name.
Oh, come on, seriously?
He also has a tattoo across his shoulders that says Semper Fi.
He does.
So that's pretty much all I know about the characters.
Okay, so look, we've spoken about that. We're going to have to speak about Doom because that is the super amazing elephant in the room. So, Prince of Persia, I think, was a great film.
Lee, I thought that was it stood up as a reasonably decent film without being a video game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
I will openly admit with Prince of Persia, I've never actually watched it. I've only ever seen...
Oh, come on!
I've only ever seen trailers for it. So, I don't particularly like Jake Gyllenhaal. The only film I've ever actually seen him in that I like is Jarhead. So...
Okay. Fair. You need to watch You need to watch Prince of Persia, and you need to watch Source Code.
Oh,
and
no, then I've seen... No, I lie. I've seen Source Code as well.
I thought that was
Shia LaBeouf for some reason. I might be thinking... Oh, wait. Am I thinking of Eli?
I don't know. Anyway.
I might be going off on a tangent.
So, look. We're going to have to come back in. Doom. Now, can we all agree from the get-go that we all reasonably think that Doom is possibly one of the best video game movies that's come out?
Yes.
It's not a great film.
No.
But video game film-wise...
I think we were okay with that. It's not the best film that's ever happened.
No.
Do you know what? Actually, I think it is a pretty good film. And actually, I think it's not a great video game film.
No, I think I agree with you. I think that's 100% correct. It's a good film, but actually as a representation of the video
that's
game,
the thing.
Possibly
it
not
doesn't
the best.
Represent Doom. It represents Doom 3.
It does a reasonable job.
Hang on, because I was about to get into an argument with Lee about this earlier.
Okay.
That it represents the general story of Doom.
No, it doesn't.
They're on Mars, aren't they? And there's monsters.
Demons.
Yeah.
Appear on Mars and take over a research base. That is basically
the story of
Doom. Yeah, but where did the zombies come into
Doom 1 to Doom 3.
But they're demons.
They're not. They're zombies.
Fuck off. Oh, fuck off.
They're reanimated corpses. They're zombies. There's none of those in Doom.
You're a reanimated corpse.
Because you're old.
The idea of the movie was close enough to the game to make it reasonable enough. But the thing that made this film good for me is it built up. That was what I quite liked.
The thing about the Doom film for me was the 5-minute first person sequence with
Carl
Urban. And it was just long enough that it brought back the feeling of it being a Doom film.
Yeah, yeah.
But I watched that sequence again this afternoon, but I found that towards the end of it, it got
a bit too much.
It almost got uncomfortable to watch because it was kind of... You got into the kind of motion sicknessy first-person mode of it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I could have... For instance, I couldn't watch Hardcore Henry, which is entirely first-person.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't watched that all the way through yet. I've watched a little bit of it, and it's a nice idea. But at the time, this was the first time that I'd seen anything do that. Mm. Doom was the first time I'd seen a movie even attempt to do this kind of thing. But
the ending fight between The Rock and Carl Urban
was brilliant. I think we can all agree. Two things. I think two things we need to make sure that we agree on. The Rock was great in this movie.
He's great in most movies.
Yeah. Which was one of the earlier movies in his career. Yeah. He's done some great films, but that was one of the earlier movies in his career. But also, Carl Urban was amazing in this
He's great
film.
In Dread as well.
He's great in most things.
But again, The Rock is great in most things.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Going from The Walking Tall to maybe not The Tooth Fairy or Escape from Witch Mountain.
But faster.
But yeah, you look at some of the films that he's been in, and this was, again, it was a film very early on in his career. It could have potentially ended up being a WWE film.
He just makes it could have been hand over fist,
don't even want that would have been The Marine all over again.
Oh.
Just look at The Rock's stuff that's in post production at the minute or announced for. He just makes money.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's rolling.
Yeah.
his muscles are rolling in the money.
a film that I want to bring up in a minute with The Rock, who's rumoured to be in, is Rampage.
Oh, okay.
So he's supposed to be in the film of the game, Rampage.
I don't even understand how you would make a film of that game.
Yeah, wasn't that all monsters?
Yeah, I could kind of understand
A Tetris movie. Yeah, no, true. Fuck Minecraft. It. They're making three Tetris movies. How in the hell?
But anyway, The Rock is brilliant in this. And yes, Carl Urban, especially in that first person scene, when you see him in the mirror and then he takes a shot at himself.
Yeah, yeah.
In a reflective panel. It's just that scene. It just makes that film for me.
Yeah, Doom was brilliant. It was a bit of a shonk. It was a little bit shonky. However, it had enough side characters in it who were well formed and well acted enough to make it not just about Carl Urban and The Rock, but The Rock was very, very, very good in it, and Carl Urban was excellent. But I think I'm kind of yet to see a movie that I didn't like Carl Urban in. However, Priest. was not great, but Carl Urban was still pretty good in it.
Priest?
Yeah, Priest. Right, look. We need to bring it up. We need to bring it to modern day movies. We've spoken about all these old films that have come out. We've skipped over a couple. We've skipped over Max Payne. We've skipped very briefly over
Max
a lot
Payne
of other stuff.
Max Payne is just utter boring.
We skipped over Max Payne, which is rubbish. We've skipped over Hitman. Look, every iteration of the Hitman movie franchise has been terrible. Let's just leave that hanging there. The latest Hitman film was shit, so...
To be fair, you could have done this whole discussion by saying that, though.
that's basically it.
Named the game and filled
in
blanks.
Now, I want to very briefly talk about... So, the Warcraft movie. I watched a Warcraft movie recently. It's all right. It's okay.
Okay, and then Minecraft?
I've heard the Warcraft movie is very bogged down in lore.
Yeah, I think that's essentially the problem. The Warcraft movie is three movies sandwiched into one that makes it feel really weird for anybody who isn't hugely bogged down in the lore. And I think if you're a super fan, which is why it's probably doing really well in China, then it's great. But it was okay, and I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was bad, but it was really odd. And it was like five people's stories in one, which
was... So it's basically Lord of the Rings?
No, it was... It was forced Lord of the Rings. It didn't give the time it needed to give to the different stories and the different characters to round out their part in it.
So will you forgive Peter Jackson?
I think that was the problem with it.
Never.
Nobody will forgive Peter Jackson.
It's made almost $1 billion and it's subtitled The Beginning. There's going to be more of these fuckers, isn't there?
Yeah, no, there definitely will. And do you know what? It wasn't a bad film. It really wasn't a bad film. And I enjoyed it. And there were a couple of characters in it that I thought were actually really, really good. It was all the peripheral stuff. It was all the extra characters. And they didn't shy away from killing off main characters, which was quite nice.
The thing is if you watch... So Duncan Jones is the guy that wrote and I think he produced Warcraft, which is David Bowie's son.
Yeah.
Now, have you guys seen Moon?
Yes. Oh, that's an amazing film.
Actually, no. Which is meaning to watch it.
I recommend watching it.
If you aren't a science fiction fan, but you want to have a go, that's the perfect film for you.
Mm.
Also, if you're not a science fiction fan, but you want to have a go, there's a book called Static.
It's a bit shit, mostly.
But... Shut up!
It's well edited.
That was a little in-joke. It's another Duncan Jones film, and he very much explores the character in Moon, and I would assume that he does very much the same in Warcraft.
Such a good film.
The Warcraft movie is very good. It's very character-driven, which is very, very nice. I don't know how many of you... Have you guys seen this?
No.
No, because I'm not a nerd.
Shut up. I did this for science. Right? I did this so you don't have
to. Cow Murderers, the film.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's very, very character-driven. It's very up its own arse, which is slightly distracting sometimes. It is very clearly bogged down in its own lore, which is fine because it's making no apologies to fan service. However, I think the fact that it's doing that and at the same time getting its fan service slightly wrong is a bit weird. You've got the Beach Babe Orc, which is a little bit difficult to get past on a couple of occasions, but slightly explainable if you kind of try to get past it.
I would imagine she's quite wide.
No, she's not. What they've essentially done is taken a human woman with a great figure, painted her green, and given her an orc's face with tusks.
Oh.
10 out of 10.
Which is really odd. Exactly. And I think the point is supposed to be, although it never explains it in the film. It never explains it in the film, but I think the point is supposed to be that she is the product of an orc and a human having a bit of shenanigans.
Yeah.
But it never says that in the film. And all the other orc women are great big and butch and muscly, but she is very slender and old slinky and bikini clad. The key thing about this film is there are a couple of characters. The main, I can't even remember the names, but the main character, the kind of sword fighty fella man, and the mage fella man, they are great together. They are very, very funny. There's a good chemistry on set. They play well off each other. But there is an awful lot of other stuff going in the film that maybe doesn't have that kind of chemistry and doesn't work quite as well. And because probably 70-odd% of the film is CGI, you lose an awful lot of that good acting to that. So It's okay. It's a good film. It is probably not worth the hype of years and years and years of Warcraft and then suddenly they bring out a movie. But it's certainly not the best thing it's certainly not the worst thing I've ever put in my eyes. It's okay.
But to be fair, it's not like, I don't know, if you look at Doom, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Resident Evil, Assassin's Creed, the potential Minecraft film, these aren't franchises that have been around for that long and then they've just gone, oh, do you know what, we're going to whack out
fuck
a film.
It. Yeah, fuck whereas, it, we're going to make a film.
Whereas Minecraft has been out for a significant amount of time and then they've gone, now's the right time to put a film out. I think, from what I've seen from the trailers, it looks like it could be the next kind of Lord of the Rings.
No, it's not. It really isn't that. Unfortunately, it isn't. And it could have been that had they done it correctly. Watch it and make up your own mind. But what they've essentially done here is they've taken what could have been two films and forced it into one. And that is almost the opposite of what they did with the Lord of the Rings films, which, in my opinion, were dragged out long and protracted. But they have squashed a little bit too much into this movie, and for people who don't understand the lore, or maybe haven't played the Warcraft games or World of Warcraft, it's a little bit OTT, and it's a bit difficult to follow. But it's still quite good, and it's still pretty enjoyable, and there's still some great characters in it, and still some really good unexpected things happen. It's not your typical, here's a good guy, here's a bad guy, and they're going to fight and the good guy's going to win. It doesn't work like that. And that's kind of what made me enjoy it. Right, we are going to die if we don't stop this fucking podcast now, because we have been talking for far too long. But I really need to give a special guest mention to a movie that I watched very specially for this podcast, which was a UA Ball extravaganza, which I very specifically... I've never seen this film before, but when we decided that we were going to do a movies podcast, I went, do you know what? I love these games, and I would be remiss if I didn't go off and watch Far Cry.
It should have been me, shouldn't it?
So I watched Far Cry. I've never put AIDS into my eyes.
You stuck with them
now. But I imagine that if I did, it would feel very much like this. This film,
I thought that was the summary.
So disjointed. Yeah, that's it. This film was so disjointed, poorly acted, poorly directed, and I would say poorly scripted, but I'm not entirely convinced that they even had one, that it was not only painful to watch, but I feel bad for everybody who was involved in it.
Do you know what the budget was for this?
£2.
£2.50.
$30 million.
Is that fake? Is that like Monopoly dollars?
This is American dollars. Do you want to know what it grossed? $743,000.
Right, the thing with UA Ball is that he makes his money from films by... he puts a budget together through crowdfunding. and he gets financed in other places for Foons.
And then he there's a German
political loophole that he gets half the budget back from the German government.
He's a sly fox, isn't he?
He's not daft, but he's shit at making films.
Look, right, we have spoken about films for far too long now. We've spoken about almost everything. There are so many more video game movies that we could have spoken about, but we're not going to because we've spoken for absolutely ages. Those are a few of the ones that we know of. If you know of any more, or if any more have offended your eye socket so much that you really want to speak to us on social media, then you can find us at ReadyP2 on Twitter. You can find us at Facebook/ReadyPlayer2. You can find us at ReadyPlayer2, that's TWO.co.uk. You can find me at Zebwen, that's Z-E-B-W-E-N. I know almost how to spell it then. You can find Ross at...
RossBell1984.
You can find Lee at...
at ZZLeeZZ.
And you can find Lewis at...
@Louis_con.
You can find all of us on Acast. You can find our podcast musings at thepalaceofwisdom.co.uk, along with all the amazing things that they're posting there as well. Thank you very much. This has been episode 66.
Yeah, well 66. Done.
66. Yeah, thank you very much. I've already played two.
Close
we
enough.
Are going to go. Good night.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Hello and welcome to episode 66 of Ready Player 2. Today we have the finest in sausage festive. I am now recording and watching my squiggly squoggle.
Squigglies.
Yep.
What the shit, Nicholas, was that?
That was a Wilhelm scream.
What?
It's a soundbite from a film from the 1950s.
Right.
That's in everything.
Really?
And it was, and it's in pretty much every film.
Name a film.
Once you've...
Hang on, name a film.
Oh, Terminator.
Well, I'm not sure, actually.
Oh, that derailed that quickly, didn't it?
What was Michael Clark Duncan's last film?
I'm hoping it's not Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li. I'm just trying to check.
Oh, God.
Because that is not a way anyone needs to go out.
No. That's probably why he died.
Written by Spike Lee. Who the fuck thinks that's a good idea? Oh, God, if you remake anything with Adam Sandler, you're just a turd.
After these adverts.
After these coughs. I'm not 100% sure how funny it's going to be, and it makes me a bit mad.
I'm a serious barbecuer.
I had to keep lighting it, though. Get fucking going out.
What? You not got enough petrol.
You want to get
it?
Some... kind of jamming a sausage.
What?
on a bit of stick.
Sorry?
I forgot we were recording.
Welcome to the next episode titled Pokemon Dogging.
But
that's fun putting that image together, right?
Natural selection needed a boost anyway.
Yep, entirely true. Pokemon Go. Culling the idiots. So
I might just change our bio. Ready Player 2. They swear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really bad. Okay.
We're still coming in.
Terribly.
Go on, then. Come on, then.
Do it.
Come in, Rich.
Don't build me up. Don't build me
in
up.
You come.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
In three.
Are you doing the fingers now?
Yeah. To the microphone as well.
Oh, thanks.
Two. And even, yeah.
I've got one thing to say
even
about
as a,
this. Ready?
What was that? That was your bad scream. Stop it. This is not a soundboard episode.
No, because I wasn't a chump.
Right, hang on. Everybody needs to stop. Hannah's found a spider. I need to go get it.
Okie dokie.
Be right back. Where is it? Okay, that's gone.
Okay, Lewis has gone for a wee in bunny ears.
Yeah.
Fapping over Mila Jojovic.
He's gone for a sex wee.
And imagine an orc penis.
I don't...
That must be thick.
How does your mind work?
That's going to split someone.
Oh, blimey.
My arse is killing me.
What? How are you speaking?
I've got the... My bloody combine harvester!
Is akin to just dipping your knob in a vat full of sick. It's not going to end. It's not going to end well for anybody, really.
Hi, it's Lee here. The guys asked that even if I am editing the podcast, no matter how funny, I'm not to make remixes of the other hosts, as it can make them appear stupid. So instead, for this episode, Ross and I will sing for you a cappella. Thank you.
Do